Hi, it's Shayna here. Before this episode starts, I'm popping in with a quick reminder about our upcoming CEU on Thursday, May 16th, on a person-centered approach to behavior management. School taught us a lot about ABA. However, the thing with ABA is that it's a science and it's constantly evolving. So a lot of what we learned back then doesn't always apply now. Today, we want to use a person-centered approach to behavior management. But what does that look like, and how can our learners still make progress in this kind of approach? So join us live on Thursday, May 16th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as Shira discusses how to use a person-centered approach to behavior management with your learners. This CEU is presented by our very own Shira Karpal. You can earn one learning CEU for ACE, QABA, or IBAO. Join us live at this event, or to watch the recording asynchronously, go to howtoaba.com/CEU. See you then.
Hi, I'm Shira Karpal.
And I'm Shayna Gaunt, and we're board certified behavior analysts. At How2ABA, we provide practical resources, community, and support to ABA professionals. In each episode of our podcast, we will be having real conversations with real people sharing real stories about ABA.
We'll share relevant strategies and actionable tips that will make us all better ABA practitioners. It's the ABA content you need that you're not going to learn in a textbook.
One buzzword that gets thrown around a lot in ABA is the word extinction, but this is not something that really we do anymore. So what is extinction and why have our thoughts changed on this? So I'm thinking about a car trip. When I think about extinction, I think about car trips and, you know, you go on long car trips, and as much as I limit my liquids, I still need to pee after a while. You know, I try and ignore it for a while, but then it gets to a point where I just can't anymore. So then I try and get agreement from everybody in the car to stop for a little break. And, you know, it's a different story for everybody. No, I want to keep on driving, what have you. So try and, you know, ignore it a little bit longer. But then I keep asking and asking, and they actually put my request on extinction. They just ignore me and they just will not honor my request. Doesn't really go over too well, right? Like I'm wiggling, but can you imagine, you know, wanting something so badly and trying to get your point across and not being heard?
Sounds like me in every car trip as a kid. So yeah, I definitely am afraid now to ask in the bathroom.
This is definitely an extreme example of extinction, but
Let's talk about what extinction really is. A lot of people, I think, now use extinction as ignoring. And we want to first say that extinction does not mean ignoring. Extinction is a powerful tool in behavior management and in the science of behavior. And what it really means is to stop providing reinforcement where there previously was reinforcement. Okay, so that's really technical. And we're going to explain more about what that means. What it does not mean is extinction is not ignoring. And extinction also doesn't mean that you're following through on demands at the expense of everything else, you know, while the child could be having a meltdown because you need to do extinction and follow through. That is not what we're referring to. We are referring to extinction as no longer providing reinforcement for a behavior that was previously reinforced. So a couple simple examples might be if someone you know really likes to tell knock-knock jokes and you think they are just super annoying. So they come up to you and they say knock-knock and you respond, who's there? And they continue and, you know, over and over again, you're like, yeah, you know, I'm not in the mood anymore. So
I'm so laughing. This is my daughter, which is about 5 years old. And you're like, can you please just stop?
We've all been there. So the next time they come over to you and they say, knock, knock, maybe you say something else. Maybe you say, I'm not in the mood, but you don't say who's there because that is the reinforcing response of that behavior. And they probably stop telling the joke. No one got harmed. It's not a completely ignoring. You could say like, I'm not in the mood right now, or I've heard that one already. As long as you're not saying who's there, which was what the previous reinforcement was, you've put that behavior on extinction.
Another example is the child's getting out of bed to watch TV. You simply turn off the TV and the child no longer gets out of bed. There might be other reasons why the child's getting out of bed, but that just the act of turning off the TV can also be extinction because what was previously reinforced, which was the TV was the reinforcement for the child getting out of bed, TV's gone, we've extinguished that reinforcement.
for any of you who have been parents, I know when I was a new parent, I wasn't yet a BCPA, and I was looking for help. And I needed help getting my kids to sleep through the night because my firstborn was not a very good sleeper. And I remember reading like tons and tons of books on how to sleep train. For any of you who don't appreciate sleep training, you could just turn this off now. I am a fan. my kids all are fantastic sleepers now. But what sleep training means, there's many different versions of sleep training. The premise of sleep training is extinction. Okay. It doesn't mean that sleep training has to mean my child is going to scream by themselves in their room for hours on end. The books that I was reading and the things that I was learning about was how to do that kindly. How can we teach a skill, which is sleeping, while also putting certain behaviors on extinction? So I wasn't going to feed them, but I could still pick them up. I could still soothe them. I could still give them their pacifier. All of those things were still okay, but I was removing the reinforcement of, you know, feeding them because I knew they weren't hungry. Or maybe it was I was removing the reinforcement of picking them up at some point, and I would just be there and I would soothe them and pat them and be there for them. But I wasn't going to pick them up, right? So you're kind of very slowly introducing ways that you're extinguishing small behaviors. And there's ways to do that very kindly. And in reality, it's something that we do use because we always change the behaviors that are getting access to reinforcement as kids grow, as we develop. Not everything's going to always be the same. I've used many reinforcement systems with my kids that worked at one point, and then we put those reinforcers on extinction and we stopped using them. My kids still do not get reinforcers for being toilet trained. Well, at one point they were. That was being reinforced. That's now on extinction, and they are not getting reinforcement for that anymore. And that is really what extinction is.
So other examples, you know, that we use in ABA, and this is, I think, where, you know, traditionally students learn extinction. So, you know, we think, well, if the function of behavior is escape, then, you know, if we're implementing extinction, we would ignore the behavior and keep the demand on and try and follow through, but we're not saying, you know, stop hitting, don't do that. We are truly just keeping the demand on it. And that's where kind of traditional extinction comes in. The other, you know, thing that, you know, as you read in an ABA textbook, you know, the function's attention, for instance, you know, we'd ignore the bids for attention and not attend to that behavior. So again, we're not ignoring the individual, but, you know, this is a slightly different than what Shira was talking about, you know, turning off the TV when, you know, a child is getting out of bed for watching TV, or fading reinforcer for toilet training. This is different. Like, if the function of behavior is escape and we're ignoring their bids for escape, or the function of behavior is attention and we're ignoring their bids for attention, there's flaws with this. This is ways that some people use extinction, you know, years ago, myself included, right? This is what we read in an ABA textbook. But these types of things, you know, ignoring the function or ignoring what's causing that is flawed. So let's talk about that.
So how people use extinction in behavior management needs to be discussed, because it has been used, either overused or used inappropriately. And we're going to talk about how to use it more appropriately in behavior management. The first thing you need to know is thinking about the function. So usually when you think about extinction, you might be doing the opposite of the function. A couple issues with that is functions aren't always so clear cut. You know, sometimes function is synthesized, which is what, you know, Dr. Hanley talks about. And it's very hard to pick and choose and pull that apart in terms of it's just attention. So we're just going to ignore, even if that was the right thing to do, which it's not. We don't always have those clear cut answers about the function. And our focus is not so much on decreasing based on function, but it should be on increasing the replacement skills. So what the synthesized function tell us is what this kid really likes. So instead of focusing on what their behavior is giving them access to in a challenging way and trying to decrease the challenging behavior, thinking about it in terms of, oh, well, they really want access to this activity with this person. Let me teach them how to get it. Let's focus on the replacement skill as opposed to focusing on potential extinction for the behavior.
If you're going to do planned ignoring, you know, that is flawed. For instance, here we go. If something involves attention and you're trying to ignore the behavior, is it really realistic? Is it doable? You know, I'm a parent and a lot of you are as well. And, you know, have you ever had your child come up to you and say, mommy, 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 mommy? At some point you're turning around going, what do you want? I can't ignore behavior. I can't, especially when it's attention seeking behavior. I give in every time, maybe not right at the beginning, but I do give in. And we know that that's a risk, right? It'll actually increase the frequency and or the intensity of behavior. So some behavior can be way too dangerous to ignore.
Yeah, safety is a big factor in considering how we're responding to behavior, because even if it's going to slightly reinforce, our goal is safety, both emotional safety and physical safety. And that brings us to understanding a concept of trauma-informed care. We want to go in with the assumption that our kids have experienced some sort of trauma, and we don't want to make that worse. And so we want to be very careful in ensuring that their needs are being met and they feel like they are being heard, even if it means slightly reinforcing a behavior in the moment. We do that in the moment, and let's figure out next time what didn't work, and let's troubleshoot later. But this is not the time to be doing something that could be potentially harmful.
And I also think about dignity and respect. And, you know, I think about, you know, like, can you imagine trying to protest something and your request is denied, or it's ignored completely, or I don't know, being in the car and needing to go to the bathroom and your request is denied. How does it make you feel, right? If you're ignored and you're trying to get your point across and no one's listening, I mean, I can't even imagine.
So even, you know, if extinction would work, oftentimes when it's being implemented, our kids are not in a space to be learning anything. And that just becomes a really negative situation. A time when they're upset, if they're already upset, that it's not the time to be teaching them skills. Well, I'm going to prove that I'm not going to listen to you, so you'll learn for next time. They're not going to learn that. In the moment, it is okay if a child is upset to give them a hug. We want to still be connecting to the humanity in our kids and in the people that we work with. And following through in that moment or ignoring a behavior in that moment is not the most important thing. Look at the child in front of you and think about what they need right now.
And I think that's huge. I think that should be restated and maybe just pause for effect. In the moment is not the time to teach. And I get so many people, or I read, you know, ABC charts that say, you know, gave them a big long lecture afterwards, or, you know, we talked about it and they said they wouldn't do it anymore. What? In the moment, like, I can't imagine when I'm heightened, there's no reasoning with me. I can't be learning at that point in time. I'm not regulated enough. So yes, you know, comfort your kids.
I think a lot of people who I've seen in the field, or even people not in the field, I think it's a bit of an instinct to do something that can be perceived as shaming. Like, well, I'm not going to listen to you because you didn't ask nicely, or you're not going to get that because you didn't do it properly. And I think our intentions are good in trying to explain to them why they're not getting what they want, but being very careful that we're not going into a place of shame, because back to dignity and respect, our kids deserve to be taught, right? They're not trying to give us a hard time. So that being said, talking about what we could do instead. So what are some alternatives to, in the moment, a child's having a really hard time, maybe they're upset about not getting access to something, or they really want your attention for something. You have a couple options. The first thing is we want to be validating their emotions, acknowledge what's going on. It's not the same thing as providing attention to the behavior. Provide attention to what's going on with this child in the moment. You feel upset. You wanted the iPad. Wow. That makes sense. I would also be upset. Allow them to feel upset. You know, like, we all have those feelings. Feelings are allowed. I know it doesn't feel good, but let's just be there. Validate that for them.
Somebody gave me an example one time. We think about it. So, you know, I'll go to my girlfriends, or my girlfriends will come to me and we'll talk about our horrible day we just had. And I don't need them to give me solutions at that point in time. I'm not looking for solutions. I'm looking for someone to say, "Oh, poor Shayna, it does sound like a bad day." And that's really what our kids want, right? And a lot of times our kids can't necessarily label their emotions. So at the same time, we're giving them a label for what they're feeling in that moment as well. So it's nice for two things.
Yeah, it'll help you in all your relationships.
Validate emotions everywhere.
The next thing is, and it's something I work on a lot, is to practice reframing the behavior. So if we have the premise that kids do well if they can, thinking about that, even if it's a bit of a stretch, like even if it feels like this is intentional, getting into the habit of practicing seeing it differently, thinking about, is this really a can't do or a won't do? Are they really doing this on purpose? What are they trying to say? How can I see this differently? You know, we talk a lot about our kids not having perspective taking skills. And it's something that I think we can develop on ourselves as well. Like, what is really going on here? How can I reframe this? Even if the outside seems to be a certain way, let's practice looking a little bit deeper.
There's a really cool visual of an iceberg. It's in a lot of different places, but if you haven't seen it, the iceberg is, you know, what's reaching the surface is only the things you can see. But what's under, and that's, you know, the aggression or whatever the negative behavior is. But then if you, you know, you go below the surface, there's a big, big chunk of ice that you don't see. And that's the anxiety. That's the setting events, right? Haven't slept. I'm hungry. I'm tired. This has happened to me today, everything else. And that's what Cher is trying to say, is that if we can reframe this as, you know, the kid's not, you know, giving us a hard time on purpose, maybe they're having a hard time. You know, it's not that they won't do it for us. Maybe it's they can't do, they don't have that skill. So we really do need to look at that and reframe it.
And then not using traditional extinction doesn't mean we don't teach anything. And it doesn't mean we never follow through. But it means that we hold those boundaries with kindness, which is a phrase that I love, right? We are allowed to hold boundaries. We are often the adult in these children's lives. Holding boundaries is safe. And it is important. So you want to choose very carefully which boundaries you're going to hold in the moment. Is it really important that they, you know, complete this worksheet? Or is it more important that they transition from the play area to the table? Like, pick those boundaries. And then think about how you can do that with kindness. So back to validating emotions. I know this is hard. You feel upset about that right now. But you know what? We're going to do it anyway, and I'm going to help you do it. If it's something that, you know, you're going to be starting to remove something that was previously reinforced, like I said earlier, have a plan to fade it slowly and in a way that you're replacing it with something else. So if you all of a sudden decided that, you know, the child doesn't get access to the iPad after completing a certain activity, you're going to fade that reinforcer, have a plan to fade it slowly. Replace it with something else, and also have a plan about how you're going to handle any escalation and get the whole team on board so that everybody knows that we're no longer doing this, but here's what we're going to do. Here's at this point, we're going to reinforce. It's especially important when working with parents. They often really are not, and they shouldn't be implementing extinction exclusively at home. So talking with parents about how we're going to deal with any slight escalation, it's always better to reinforce if you can notice a precursor than it is to wait until we're already, like, you know, erupting like a volcano. And to have that plan, have a plan to fade whatever your reinforcer is and teach the skills.
Hanley talks about the universal protocol. And Cher is going to be doing a workshop on that in May. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be an Ethics CEU as well. So she'll be going into a lot more detail about reframing the behavior, holding boundaries with kindness, and a whole bunch of other things on the Universal Protocol. But really, so, you know, we've got those boundaries still, but after the, you know, the challenging behavior has subsided, what we need to do is we need to look inside ourselves and we need to say, okay, well, why did that negative behavior happen in the first place? And how do I change it going forward, right? So, you know, if it continues, you know, when we're giving specific demands, you know, what are those triggers? Let's look at that, right? And we may need to go back to the drawing board with programming. We may need to increase specific replacement skills, like we mentioned earlier. We really might need to go, oh, okay, they used to have this skill, but maybe they don't anymore. Maybe it needs to be retaught. Maybe we need to teach it using errorless teaching. So there's a whole bunch of different things that you can think about, but making sure that you are reflecting on that episode of negative behavior and saying, how can we make it better next time?
And for another really powerful tool that to use instead of extinction, check out our blog on shaping, because often what happens is if you haven't shaped a skill, you know, in small enough bits, and you're having too big expectations, that often results in a behavior that you may think you want to put on extinction, when really, if you were using shaping properly and teaching skills in small enough increments, then you're helping our kids be successful. So shaping is a really powerful tool to be using when teaching skill, and also, you know, removing reinforcers that were previously used to reinforce behaviors and in dealing with challenging behavior, but seeing it as a way to teach up a skill instead of just decrease the behavior.
So in summary, we discussed what extinction means, why it can be flawed, and what we can do about it.
Thanks for joining today's conversation. Wherever you get your podcast, please go and subscribe, rate, and review so others can find out about us too.
For more from How to ABA, including free resources and ABA materials, visit our blog at howtoaba.com. And make sure that you're following us on social media for more practical tips and updates.